On the program, we have a very special guest with us. You know, you don't hear much about the old days of radio these days, unless you're an old-time radio fan like myself. But Dick Van Patten will be talking it up in the next few nights. As a matter of fact, the Eight Is Enough star started out as a child actor in radio programs like Let's Pretend and speaks nostalgically of the days when an actor could walk into a studio, pick up a script, and perform within an hour. Dick Van Patten is on the line with us right now, back on the program. Hello, sir. How are you?
Oh, I'm very good, thanks. Nice to talk to you.
Nice to talk to you again. We had you on the program, oh gosh, back in 97 when your book came out, Launching Your Child in Showbiz.
That's right. Yeah, good memory. Right.
Now you're going to be this event is taking place in New Jersey.
Yes.
And you're going to be there. What will you be doing when you're there that time?
Well, I'm going to be there tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
They're doing old radio shows, and they're having some of the actors that are still left from radio perform them. And so I'll be in one of the scripts. You know, I think I'm going to do I Remember Mama, because originally, in 1948, I did a TV series on radio called I Remember Mama, and then when television came along in 49, they made it into a TV series, and it was on every Friday night at 8 o'clock. It was called Mama, I Remember Mama, and we were on for 9 years, from 49 to 58. And the girl, I played Nels, I was a teenager, and the girl that played my sister, Catherine, she's going to be there tomorrow night, and we're going to do one of those I Remember Mama scripts. But when I was a kid in radio, a lot of the men that played my father went on to become big movie stars. Maybe you're too young, but Frank Lovejoy, Richard Widmark, there was a whole, Gary Merrill, they all came out of radio.
They're all great actors.
Agnes Moorehead, Arlene Francis, they always played my mother on the radio. And there was a show called Theater Guild of the Air. It was on every Sunday night. And any time there was a kid, they did famous movies and everything, but they did them on radio. And they had the original stars from the movies come in and do them. And any time there was a kid on that show, I did it. But Harry Truman was president then, and he loved that show. And they got word of this, that Harry Truman loved the Theater Guild on the Air. So we went to the White House and did a performance for Harry Truman, A Father of the Bride, and it was with Spencer Tracy, Joan Bennett, Elizabeth Taylor, and myself. And we did it right from the White House, a special command performance for President Truman. So it was really exciting. There were two kid shows on then. One was Let's Pretend, which was very famous. Now, I don't know whether these shows were famous in Canada.
Yeah, a lot of them were. A lot of the network shows that came from CBS and NBC, and I guess Dumont,
right,
were popular on radio stations up here as well.
There was no ABC then. It was just CBS and NBC.
Yep.
And Let's Pretend was on CBS every Saturday morning, 11 o'clock. It was all kids. And then NBC had a show called Coast to Coast on a Big White Bus. And that was on Sunday afternoons.
As a matter of fact,
Nancy Walker was one of the kids on that.
As a matter of fact, this very radio station used to play shows from CBS in those days.
Really?
Absolutely.
Well, it was a wonderful way to grow up as a kid.
It must have been heady days for you, especially doing things like going to the White House and meeting the President of the United States.
That's right. And, you know, you could do like sometimes two or three radio shows in one day. I remember one day I did David Harum in the morning at 10 o'clock. And then I did, for 10 years I played the son on Young Widow Brown. That was on every afternoon at 4:45. I did that at 4:45, and then that night I did the Henry Aldrich show. I played one of Henry Aldrich's friends. So you could do two or three shows in one day, and it was during the Depression, too. And so it was a nice, clean way to make money, and some of those radio actors were wonderful, too.
How did you get into it in the first place?
Well, I had a stage mother, and when I was 7 years old, she took me up and down Broadway. She was very aggressive, and people, when they say word stage mother, they say it like it's like a dirty word. But I owe everything to an aggressive stage mother. She got me into this business, and I've had a wonderful life. She took me up and down Broadway. She got doors slammed in her face. She took me to producers, directors, agents, and I finally got a job in a play called Tapestry in Gray. I played Melvin Douglas's son. I was 7 years old. And then I just did 27 plays on Broadway right after that. I went from one to another. And while I was doing the plays on Broadway, I was doing all these radio shows, too. So it was really an exciting childhood.
I guess as you said, you have a stage mother. She not only took you along, but I guess she took your sister Joyce as well.
My sister Joyce, that's right.
Yeah.
Joyce just closed here on Broadway at a show last week. She got great reviews. And, I live in California, but I'm here in New York now. I came originally for the radio convention, you know, that we're doing in Newark, New Jersey. However, while I was here, they offered me a job at the Lincoln Center to do Cinderella. So I'm back and forth. I'm shooting over to Jersey and then coming back to rehearse here at Lincoln Center. We opened November 7th.
I think I mentioned to you last time you were on the program, I was a big fan of your sister when I was growing up, when she was on the Danny Kaye Show.
Oh, boy, I can't wait till I tell Joyce that. She'll be so happy. I think my sister's very talented. She's great. And I thought she was great on the Danny Kaye Show. I'm so glad you mentioned that. Thank you very much.
She's one of those actresses that can go from drama to comedy at the drop of a hat.
She can be very, very funny. Now, last summer, I toured with her in the show Harvey. Now, Harvey was originally with Frank Fay and Josephine Hull. And Josephine Hull was great in it. And when I heard my sister was going to play that part, I figured, oh boy, she's going to have her hands full because to be as good as Josephine Hull. Well, she was every bit as good. She was great, and if not even better. I mean, she was just wonderful. And so she's working all the time, you know. And she's in this radio convention, too.
And by the way, did I not see that your son was nominated for an Emmy?
Yes.
As a director?
You really do catch up. That's Timmy Van Patten. That's my brother. Everybody thinks he's my son, but it's my brother.
Okay.
I do have three sons. Vincent Van Patten, who does the world tour of poker. Now, I don't know whether you get that. That's on the Travel Channel every Wednesday night.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a big, big hit. And then I have another son, Jimmy, who traveled with me last year. We went on the road in the Sunshine Boys. And then I have another son, Nels, who teaches tennis. Well, my son, Vincent, was a professional tennis player for 12 years. And he played up in Montreal and Toronto, and he played all the major tournaments, you know.
Now, your son, Nels, he was named after the character you played
exactly.
on
Exactly. He was born in 1955 when I was playing the part of Nels, and I figured, gee, it's a lucky name for me. I'll name my son Nels.
We are talking with Dick Van Patten here on Montreal's News Talk Leader, CJD 800. We have more time with Dick here on CJD. We'll take a break. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Holder Tonight with Peter Anthony Holder on Montreal's News Talk Leader, CJAD 800.
Peter Anthony Holder here with you on Montreal's News Talk Leader, CJAD 800, and we are talking with actor Dick Van Patten. He is taking part in a three-day festival of old-time radio. It's called Friends of Old-Time Radio Convention, taking place in Newark, New Jersey. If you are a fan of old-time radio yourself, you can take a look at some of the information on their website at www.fotr.net. That's www.fotr.net. And, Dick, the last time we had you on the program, we were on talking about your book, Launching Your Child in Showbiz. And we talked about the fact that you, of course, as you mentioned when you started talking to us tonight, started out as a child actor yourself. Your children went into the business. Also, you've worked with a lot of child actors in such shows as Eight Is Enough. You obviously had a very good experience working as a child actor and turning it into adulthood, but I've had an opportunity to talk to several child actors who, even if they did enjoy their experience, didn't want their own children doing it.
Well, I don't understand that, because you only hear about the kids that didn't do well, a small percentage. But, you know, Ronnie Howard and Shirley Temple, Leonardo DiCaprio, the list goes on and on of kid actors that have grown up and continued acting and have very fulfilled lives. Now, I know a lot of them have gotten in trouble with drugs, but it's about the same percentage of kids that weren't kid actors that just go to regular school and get into trouble with drugs. So I think it was a great advantage to be a child actor. I traveled all over the world. I met the most famous people, most interesting people. Now, it's a different thing if a mother pushes a kid that doesn't want to do it into it, you know. That's different. But most kids love it. I mean, it was really fun. It was really the most exciting childhood anybody could have. I didn't miss anything.
As a parent who had children who went into the profession, did you have to watch them closely? Because one of the things is, as you say, yes, there's the same shall we say, percentage of kids outside of the acting profession who may be involved in drugs as there are inside the acting profession. But the difference with the actors are the access to money, which makes a lot of things readily available, both good, bad, and indifferent.
Mm-hmm.
Would you say, did you have to watch your kids from that regard? Probably a little more than parents outside of show business had to watch.
No, see, two of my three kids were child actors. Vincent was very famous. He did a lot of series, Apple's Way, Three for the Road, the Bionic Boy. He was working all the time. Then he left it to become a tennis player. But no, he had a very normal childhood, and Jimmy worked all the time as a kid actor. Nels, my other son, didn't want to do it, so of course we didn't push it with him. But no, I just don't go along with that. I think it was a big advantage. And first of all, the kids don't get the money. It's protected for them until it's called the Jackie Coogan Law.
Mm-hmm.
Because when Jackie Coogan was a kid actor, he got grown up and all the money was gone. His parents blew the whole thing. So now there's the Jackie Coogan Law where the kids can't touch it till they're 21 years old. And at least one-third or 50% has to go into the savings for them. The parents, the most the parents can keep is two-thirds. But most parents, you know, keep 50% and the other 50%. So when they get to be 21, there's money for them to, you know, there's plenty of money, especially if they worked a lot.
Now, you've had a very long career from child actor to adulthood, and it's still going on. You're on stage, your television, films. By the way, I was still upset at the fact that they canceled When Things Were Rotten.
Oh, you have good taste.
That was a
great
show.
That show was ahead of its time. Here's what happened. The show went on the air. I thought it was going to run for 5 years. People were standing in line to pay to see Mel Brooks movies. Here they were getting free Mel Brooks in their living room, and they canceled the show. I'll never understand that. I thought that was going to run for 5 or 6 years. It was so funny, and Mel Brooks is still angry. He'll never do television again. He can't believe that they canceled that show. But I'm glad you remember it. Most people, when I say When Things Were Rotten, they don't know what I'm talking about. It only ran 13 weeks, and that was 1976. However, that's how I got Eight Is Enough, because it was on for ABC. When the show was canceled, Freddie Silverman, who was the head of ABC, put me under an exclusive contract, and he put me in a pilot called Eight Is Enough, and then, of course, the rest was, you know, was a big, big hit.
Is there something in your career that you're most proud of?
Yeah, I think so. I tell you, I grew up since I was 7 years old, and I got a job with the Lunts, with Lunt and Fontanne. Alfred Lunt and Lynn Fontanne.
Right.
And they were the king and queen of Broadway. I mean, they were the, and I remember when I had just done a show called The Skin of Our Teeth with Montgomery Clift, but Montgomery Clift wasn't a star then or anything, just had a small part. But I remember when I had to audition against 80 other kids, and they narrowed it down to three kids, and we had to, that was in the morning, and then we had to come back, those three, in the afternoon at the Schubert Theater and read for Miss Fontaine. In the morning we read for Alfred Lunt. And we came back, and the other two kids were Roddy McDowell and Marlon Brando. And so, it was down to the three of us, and I got the job. And it was a great accomplishment. And then Montgomery Clift called me up from Hollywood. He had just gone out to Hollywood. He said, because he had been with the Lunts in There Shall Be No Night. And he called me up and he said, Dickie, I hear you just got the job with the Lunts. He said, this is the greatest thing that could happen to you. He said, everything I learned from them. And he said, they're the best, the very, very best. So I would have to say, I've had a lot of exciting things happen, but I think that was one of the best accomplishments and the thing I'm most proud of. To get that, you had to be good to get it, and I guess I came off good that day, you know.
Do you have a?
And I was with them for 4 years,
wow.
3 years on the road, and then 2 years on Broadway, and then when it closed on Broadway, they toured it for 2 years. So I was with them for 4 years. It was a very large part. I think it was the longest juvenile part ever written. My part was bigger than Lunt and Fontaine.
Do you have a preference as the type of work you like to do? Do you prefer stage, film, television, comedy, drama, what?
I'll tell you, I'm in the minority. Most actors say, oh, I love the live theater, and I like it all. But, you know, after you do a show for a couple of months, it becomes sort of redundant doing the same thing over and over. I think the most fun is to do a series, a hit series like Eight Is Enough, where you're doing a different script every week, you're working with the same people, it's like a big family, and you're not doing the same lines every week. The recognition is wonderful. Recognition from television is stronger than anything else. And, of course, the money is great. That's my favorite. I think working on TV in a comedy, you know, light comedy, that would be my favorite. I like it all, but you asked me which is my favorite. I'd have to say doing a hit series.
We have just a few more minutes to go with Dick Van Patten here on Montreal's News Talk Leader, CJAD 800.
You're listening to Holder Tonight with Peter Anthony Holder on Montreal's News Talk Leader, CJAD 800.
Peter Anthony Holder here with you on Montreal's News Talk Leader, CJAD 800. Heard Monday through Friday until 10, Saturday until 9. And we are talking with actor Dick Van Patten. He is in New York and also in New Jersey. There's a 3-day festival of old-time radio called the Friends of Old-Time Radio Convention. It's taking place this weekend, and he's involved in that. When you get up on the stage and you do these old-time radio scripts again, does it bring you back to a time when you did these originally?
Yes, it sure does, especially when we do Let's Pretend. You know, that brings back a lot of memories. We were all kids then. And there's a few of us left now that are going to read a couple of the Let's Pretend scripts. So that'll be very nostalgic, you know. That was almost like going to school. And Nyla Mack, who ran Let's Pretend, she was very strict. The kids, we all loved her, though. She was like a school teacher. And everybody was, you had to be on time. And, I mean, it was very professionally done and very well done. So it will bring back memories to do that show again. And, of course, to do another I Remember Mama script with Rosemary Rice, who played my sister on I Remember Mama. She played Catherine, and I was Mel's. So it'll be nice to do it with her, too, you know?
Old-time radio sadly went the wayside around about 1962. But, you know, even in this day and age, a lot of younger fans who weren't around, I collect old-time radio myself, there were a lot of fans who weren't around when they first aired. And with the resurgence of other forms of radio, such as satellite radio, it could be interesting. Do you think we could see a renaissance of radio drama and comedy again?
I think it would go over very big. People would have to use their imaginations again, and that beats anything. I really think that you would be onto something there. I think it would be successful. I think young people would be intrigued by it. I mean, it was exciting. You used your imagination. It was just wonderful.
Now, what is this play you're also working on in New York?
Okay, I'm at the Lincoln Center, mm-hmm. and I'm doing it with Renee Taylor and Eartha Kitt. I play the king. Renee Taylor plays the queen. Eartha Kitt plays the fairy godmother. And there's over 100 people in the cast, singers and dancers. And it's at the Lincoln Center. We're in rehearsal now. In fact, I just came from rehearsal. And we opened November 7th. And it was a last-minute thing, because I thought I'd be out in Newark at the convention, the radio convention, the whole week. And then I got offered this job at the last second, and so I'm trying to do both, and I am doing it so far.
You keep yourself very busy, don't you?
Yeah, I never turn anything down. My mother used to say, don't ever turn a job down. I guess that's stuck in my head.
I said it before when you were on the program with us, about 7 years ago, and I'll say it again. You were probably one of the happiest people we've ever talked to from the world of show business who just seem to enjoy every bit of the experience in a very long and illustrious career.
Well, I tell you, I've been very lucky, and so that's why I'm so happy. I've been very lucky. And I had great parents. My parents used to say, you're only as cute as the show that you're on, and when it's over, it could all end. So I was always expecting the worst. So when it didn't happen bad, I've been very happy, you know. But I was prepared for the failure in case it happened. And I think a lot of these kids that you mentioned before that are unhappy now, about being kid actors, I think if they had been prepared to know that it could all end tomorrow, that maybe they wouldn't be as shocked, you know, as they are.
Your parents are very, very realistic. Sounds like they were quite grounded, and they kept you quite grounded as well, and your sister.
Yeah, right. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, speaking of your sister, give our best to your sister for us.
I sure will. She'll be so thrilled that you remember her from the Danny Kaye Show.
Well, I remember her from a lot of things.
That's nice.
The Good Guys.
Oh, my gosh, of course. With Herschel Bernardi.
Mm-hmm.
And the other guy, you know, from the Gilligan's Island.
Gilligan's Island, it was, Bob Denver.
Bob Denver.
And
right.
I think
he married. You know that he married a midget? Did you know that?
No.
Yes, my sister told me that after the show went off the air, he married a real midget. Yeah. I was so shocking.
Chuck McCann was also in that show, I think, too.
Yes, and I see Chuck all the time.
Okay.
I see him every Sunday. When I tell him that I was on your show, I'll tell him that you mentioned it.
Dick, thank you very, very much for being on the program with us.
Thank you very much. Enjoy talking to you.
Have a great time in the play, and also have a great time at that radio convention this weekend in Newark.
Okay.
Take care.